to see you tonight. Thank you for coming again. Can we turn, please, to Romans? And tonight we're going to look into a number of chapters, starting in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 33. All I want us to look at in verse 33 is the last statement of the verse. It is God that justifieth. It is God that justifieth. Back into chapter 5, please. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now back into chapter 5 again and the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we trust that God will bless his word to each one of our hearts this evening. Now, on Sunday night, I spoke on the subject of salvation, and I pointed out that the words saved and salvation imply two things. First of all, it implies a danger to which we stood exposed. But then it also implies a danger from which we have been delivered. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says of God, who has saved us. So Paul knew that he was saved, and he knew that Timothy was saved. That's the wonder of the Word of God, you see. God doesn't speak in maybes. God speaks in very definite statements. And there are people here tonight who are not only saved, but they know they're saved. Okay? Now tonight, I want to speak on the truth of justification. Probably the most thrilling truth in relation to the gospel. Justification. What is justification? Well, in an ordinary court of law, a person is justified when evidence has been submitted that proves that the person was not guilty of the crime with which they have been charged. Okay? That's when a person is justified and they're pronounced not guilty. No court of law can justify a person when the evidence has been absolutely clear that that person is guilty of the crime he has committed. If the judge were to say not guilty, it would be a travesty of justice, okay? So no court on earth can justify a guilty man. But what we're going to discover tonight is that God can do what men cannot do. God can justify guilty men and women and children. Now, Paul in the Epistle to the Romans takes us, first of all, into God's courtroom. And into that courtroom, he brings the person who has been charged. And that person is the world of humanity. Also, he brings into that courtroom three witnesses against that person that has been charged. The first witness is in chapter 1. It's the witness of creation. And creation bears witness to the fact that we are without excuse. The creation proves the veracity of what God claims in relation to the sinner. Okay? Then in the beginning of chapter 2, another witness is brought in. And that is the witness of human conscience. And human conscience in chapter 2 in the first 15 verses proves that man is guilty. Finally, he brings another witness. And that witness is the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. And the law of Moses again proves the guilt of mankind. So that Paul draws things together in chapter 3. And this is what he says. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So God has pronounced the whole world guilty. And yet still there are millions of people in this world who think that they can become right before God on the basis of obeying the Ten Commandments. But Paul tells us quite clearly in Romans chapter 3, therefore, by the law shall no man be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law proves that each one of us has sinned against God. Okay? But what man can't do, that is, man can't justify a guilty person, God can do. Now, you probably noticed in the readings that we looked at that we read in chapter 8 and verse 33, that is God who justifies, justified by God. Chapter 5 and verse 9, we read the term justified by blood. Chapter 3, verse 24, justified by grace. And chapter 5 and verse 1, justified by faith. Now that is not five different ways of being justified, four different ways of being justified. They're just looking at the truth of being justified from four different perspectives. First of all, justified by God. It is God who justifies. The question is asked, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's chosen ones, the ones who have trusted Christ as Savior? Who in all the universe is going to lay charges against a person that God has justified? The answer, obviously, is no one's going to be able to lay charges against such a person. You see, God is the source of justification. You're not justified before God by keeping the Ten Commandments. Do you get that? You know, the Lord Jesus indicated that the whole of the law can be narrowed down to two laws. Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you break one of those laws, you have broken God's law. And not one of us has ever loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not one of us. And neither has any one of us loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. Okay? I think that's pretty obvious. When you see a photograph of a group of people, who's the first person you look for? You look for yourself. Why? You want to see how good you looked in the picture. Because it matters so much to you. So God is the source of justification. It's God that has designed this way of salvation that we were speaking about on Sunday night. Okay, chapter 5 and verse 9, justified by blood. Justified by blood. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by blood, blood was the means. You see, for God to justify men was a very, very costly business. It hasn't cost you or me anything. But it cost God the very best that he had. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Bible says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God wanted to have us in his family. God wanted to justify us, that is, to clear us of all charges laid against us. But it cost him the very best that he had. It involved the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ from amongst the dead. Did you notice when Brother David was reading from 1 Corinthians 15, he said, Christ died for our sins, not for his sins, but for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if it were not for the death of Christ upon the cross and his subsequent resurrection from amongst the dead, there could be no justification for guilty men and women. Not one of us, not one single human being would ever be able to go to God's fair heaven. David would never get to heaven. Moses would never get there. None of the great men of the Old Testament or New Testament would ever get to heaven. They'd all find themselves ultimately in the lake of fire, suffering eternally the consequences of their sins. Therefore, being justified by blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay? So it involved the death of Christ upon the cross. And we have stressed on former nights that there was darkness from 12 noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the truth of the matter is that he was abandoned by God because in those hours of darkness, he was being punished as though he was the sinner. And he was bearing the wrath of God that was due to you and me, in order that you and I might be able to have our sins forgiven. It was a very costly business. That was the means that God used in order that we might be saved. Then chapter 3, verse 23, we read there of being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely by his grace. Grace is the ground of being justified. That is, there's nothing that you and I can contribute to it. It's not the work of Christ upon the cross plus a little bit of hard work on our behalf. It's not a matter that Christ saves us from our past sins and then we must make sure we don't sin after that. It's entirely the work of Christ upon the cross. If it was not entirely the work of Christ, then none of us could ever be saved. Because not one of us is capable, even after we are saved, of living totally sinless lives. Okay? Even while I'm standing up here, I could be sinning. It's possible that in my mind what I'm thinking is, I wonder what they think of how well I'm preaching. That's a sin. And so it's on the ground of grace, a free bestowal of salvation to you and me as sinners. Justified by grace. Maybe at this point I'll bring in that illustration that I used last night. I spoke about the woman who, when she was young, along with others, committed a terrible crime. I said she used a great stone and crushed someone's skull. Well, I checked into the facts, and that wasn't exactly true. Her name was Carla Faye Tucker. She didn't use a stone. She used a pickaxe, something like 28 times into a person's skull. And while the others were caught, she somehow managed to disappear into society. And for 25 years, she had changed her identity. She had got married. She raised a family. She had a change of lifestyle. And by all accounts, she came to know Christ as Savior. Okay? And then she couldn't deal with her conscience. So she gave herself up. She was found guilty, of course. And she was slated to be executed. It was brought before George W. Bush, who was the governor of Texas at the time. I'm going to read to you what she said in her final words. He didn't change the sentence. This is what Carla Faye Tucker said. I would like to say to you, to all of you, the Thornton family and Jerry Dean's family, that I am so sorry. I hope God will give you peace with this. Baby, whoever that was, I love you. Ron, give Peggy a hug for me. Everybody has been so good to me. Here's a woman who's just about to be executed. I love all of you very much. I'm going to be face to face with Jesus now. Warden Baggett, he would be the warden of the prison. Thank you, all of you, so much. You have been so good to me. I love you all very much. I will see you all when you get there. I will wait for you. Those were her last words. Listen, God was able to do what George Bush could not do. He not only forgave her. If he'd forgiven her, that is, if God had just forgiven her, she wouldn't go to hell, but neither could she go to heaven, because she would still have that charge against her. God has justified her. What does it mean? It means that because Christ made the payment for our sins upon the cross, he bore the wrath that was due to you and me. God now can put to our credit his own righteousness and can treat us as though we have never, ever sinned at all. And while an earthly law court could not justify that woman, God could do it. And although she had to pay the price, she had to be executed, yet she was fit to go to heaven. She wasn't fit to be left on earth because of her crime, but she was fit to go to heaven because she was justified before God, because another took her place. The Lord Jesus bore the judgment that was due to her, and as a result, she was justified. Finally, chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is God's one requirement. Justified by God. God is the source of it. God planned it. Justified by blood, the death of Christ has procured it. Justified by grace, that's the only way we can receive it, as a free gift from God. But God has one requirement, and that is we must put our faith in what Christ has done upon the cross. Therefore, being justified by faith, actually, that text could read this way. Therefore, having been and remaining justified by faith, we have presently peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end result of having been justified. Have you experienced that peace? The peace of God which surpasses all understanding? Do you have that? Can you put your head on your pillow at night and not be afraid of what might happen during the hours of the night? Could you find yourself in a war situation and not have the slightest fear about what might happen? I'll give you one more illustration. Ben Sutton was a preacher my wife and I knew well. In fact, he married us. Before the war, Ben was quite a violent person. And during the war, he was on board ship. And I heard him say this myself. He was watching the German planes coming in, and he had a gun right in front of him, and right in front of his eyes was a cross. And as the flak was coming down from these planes, he hadn't the slightest sense of fear, because he had no thought that he wasn't ready to meet God. But the day he came under conviction of sin, he was afraid to walk across the street just in case he didn't make it to the other side. Ever been there? Ever had that fear that you might not make it? Listen, if you were to trust Christ as your Savior, you could know the peace of God. You could know peace with God. Know that you're welcome in God's family. Not only does it say that, but it also goes on to say in verse 2, and rejoice in prospect of the glory of God. So there's a guarantee for the future too. Not only present peace, but future glory. The genuine believer in the Lord Jesus has the guarantee from God that when the Lord Jesus comes again, he's going to take us to be with himself. If I go, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm getting up in years. Had my 84th birthday yesterday. So I guess I'm not too far from the end. I have no fear of facing death. I'm looking forward to being with the Savior. You see, for the Christian, death is just the vestibule into heaven. It's just the door you have to pass through in order to get there. But wonder of all wonders, I may never die, because the Lord Jesus might come in the meanwhile and take all Christians to heaven. So my question to you is this. Are you saved? Come on now. Can you recall a moment in your life when you personally trusted Christ as your Savior? Can you remember when it happened? Because if you don't remember when it happened, likely it never did happen. And you still need to be saved. God will not only save you from the penalty of your sins, he will justify you. He'll make you as though you have never, ever sinned as far as he is concerned. And he gives you a guaranteed home in heaven.